this is kind of the leather zone for the weekend. Ooh. And just sort of have everything out and ready so I can try things on over and over and over again until I feel comfortable.
Is your husband?
Okay, it's the day before the competition, and Ben Cowfair is feeling a little nervous. He says he'll probably wait until the last minute to decide.
I know that feeling.
I know you do. That's why you're always 15 minutes late to everything, James. This is The Competition. I'm Elissa Dudley.
And I'm James Kim. And the big day is tomorrow.
Yeah, the pressure is on. So I was kind of surprised that Ben agreed to let me come interview him like 12 hours before the competition starts. And when I got to his house, he gave me a one-on-one tour of his leather collection.
I see a harness in here.
Yes, there's a couple of harnesses. This is the one that it actually attaches to a ring down around my junk. Mm-hmm. And then comes up around my shoulders and has...
Ben's pretty new to leather. Last year's competition was his first time being out in full leather gear.
So I stood there in the back and I was so nervous because I didn't know a lot of people, and the people that I did know were rushing around, you know, doing things and being important leather people. So I just sort of stood there meekly in the back the whole time and tried to absorb as much of it as I could.
And so he starts going to leather nights with his husband. Both of them were already involved in the local bear scene.
And bears are big, hairy, gay dudes for any of you uninitiated listeners out there.
Yeah, exactly. So Ben became a contestant in Mr. Los Angeles Leather, the big competition, because he won the smaller competition his bears group hosted.
And everyone lays their hands on you and they get around you. And then they shout just as loud as they can for as long as they can, right in your face. And it's so jarring, and it's like this, well, yes, we love you, everyone's amazing, you know, bah. That was surreal.
It seems like Ben went from being a leather newbie to like competing on stage super fast.
Totally. It was like over the course of a year, he's out in leather for the first time, and a year later, he wins this competition. Now he's one of 11 people up for this big title. And I think it might have something to do with the fact that Ben and his husband are both costumers, mostly for film and TV projects. So they go all out with their leather gear. Ben's husband is an expert tailor.
Yeah, I do my own and I make him let me do his.
That's him, Ben's husband, who is also named Ben.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy coincidence. Maybe it's why they're attracted to each other. I don't know. Anyways, they met on the job.
I was working in a costume shop. And it's way in the back, so I don't know why, for some reason, I looked out the door, and you could see there's, like, a long hallway down to the front of the place. And I saw him walk in.
And I saw this man from all the way across the costume shop. And he saw me.
And it was literally like, oh, my God, who is that?
And he sort of, like, he rushed over to the front room and... You tell this way better than I do.
Go ahead and share your story.
Ay vey. It just so happened that he knew the woman that I was there with.
So I like raced up there to talk to her right away. And just like, she was my long lost best friend, you know, because I was going to meet him.
He said hello to her. And then he introduced himself to me. And, oh, hi, what's your name? Ben, what's your name? Ben, oh. And then sort of all of the oxygen got sucked out of the room.
Sort of like lightning going off.
And everybody else got a little uncomfortable.
Like literally couldn't breathe.
You know, it's that moment in the movie where you only see the two people and the whole background is just swirling around them. And it was super gross, but really, really sweet.
And it was definitely love at first sight.
We couldn't actually speak for several months to each other because the tension was just too thick.
There was lots of nonverbal communication.
I came back at some point to the costume shop and I couldn't even speak to him. I just wanted to like hug him. You know, I just wanted to be close physically.
For some reason, he's almost to the door and he turned back around and it scared me and I totally jumped. It was so odd. And then he just turned on the left. I was like, what the hell just happened?
Wait, so what happened?
I mean... Obviously, they ended up getting married.
That's
we already know this. But they needed a little help to make it happen.
It took one of the gay apps that we found each other on for us to be able to talk. Like, it took the intermediary of the computer screen for us to be able to talk to each other. And then we went out on what was sort of like a date.
Oscar and I was our first date. And then we went back to my house and we had vegetable lasagna that I made.
And it was great.
And you just felt like you knew?
Yeah, in a way that I hadn't ever before.
Our third date, he had spent the entire evening telling me he wasn't interested in dating. He didn't want a boyfriend. He didn't have time. He didn't believe in love and he didn't believe in marriage and all this other stuff. So I was like, all right, cool, whatever. By the end of the date, we're ready to go home. And he says, well, wait, what are we calling us? I said, well, nothing. We're just hanging out, obviously, because you're not interested in anything. And he said, oh, no, we're dating. So I said, okay. And that was it.
That's it. He was patient. All he had to do was wait, and then I would crazy my way into him.
But he didn't know that I always get my man.
Ben and Ben moved in together, and they are in love.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But then, almost 2 years later, something happens.
At the end of 2010, Ben got sick. He had pneumonia. He sort of started to get weaker and weaker and spend more and more time in bed.
I was sick for like 3 months, actually, and didn't go to the doctor because I was stupid.
Because he's a man.
Well, I don't have insurance either, so.
Yeah, and finally it got to the point where he had been in bed, not speaking, not eating, no water, not getting up for a couple of days. And I said, we are going to the urgent care. Now you can get out of bed and put on some clothes, or I will literally drag you with whatever you're wearing down the stairs and to my car. But that's your choice. You know, that's, you were going nonetheless. We went to the urgent care and he got checked out. And then we got a call the next day from the doctor that said, you need to go to the emergency room now.
So we went to the emergency room and they took me in right away, which is odd because they normally don't do that unless you're like falling apart. And they tried to take blood and they couldn't. Because I was so dehydrated, they stuck me 19 times trying to get blood out, and they couldn't. So finally, they had to knock me out. Basically, wound up finding out at that time, not only did I have bacterial pneumonia, but 19 T-cells, which means I had full-blown AIDS. They said I'd had like a 50-50 chance of surviving. The next evening, I had complete respiratory failure. White light, everything, you know?
I remember he started saying, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't breathe. And we called the nurse, and the nurse came in. And then all of a sudden, somebody shoved me out of the room, and there were like 7 people in there, and they brought in all the machines and the carts, and there were like jumping around and yelling and all sorts of things happening. And I had no idea what was going on because I was out in the hallway sort of, I guess, a little shell-shocked and a little desolate, you know? And then they bring a cart in, they move him out to somewhere else, and then everybody else leaves. They take the carts out, everything's gone. And so, and then I'm still just sort of sitting there squatting against the wall in the hallway, like shaking. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. And so I just stand up and go back into the room and start collecting his things. Maybe 20 minutes later, somebody comes in and says, oh, are you still here? And I went, yeah. Where should I be? Tell me. And so they told me where the ICU was, and I went. And at that point, he was in a coma. And then it was purgatory. All I can remember is darkness, and everything just felt like the lights were turned off all the time. And he was lying there unresponsive. And so I would stay there until I couldn't feel my butt anymore from sitting. And I would go home and sleep on the couch. Like, I couldn't even sleep in the bed, and just take a shot of whiskey to calm my nerves and then go to sleep. Wake up the next day and go back to the hospital and just sit with him and talk and read and do whatever I could. And I reenacted several times The scene from Steel Magnolias where she's reading out of the Cosmo magazine. But that's just because I'm gay. At some point, one of the doctors or nurses says, "You should probably get tested as well." And I said, "Oh, I guess I should." And even though we had both been tested within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, we had both tested negative that same year. I tested negative twice that same year. So
I went across the street to the Planned Parenthood. God bless Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And they gave me the little minute test, and I tested positive.
Fuck. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I can't even imagine this week of their life.
Yeah, it's so horrifying to find out like that.
Yeah, and Ben was dealing with this alone for 7 whole days while his husband was in a coma.
Do you remember the first conversation you had after you came to?
No. Do you?
Yes.
What was it?
Some nurse at the hospital convinced him that I already knew I was positive and I was lying about it.
It all sounded very logical. She said there's no way he could have been positive for this long and not known about it.
She was just assuming on her own.
Yeah, and that planted a seed of strife for the next several months.
Year.
I think probably until the wedding.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. It was a very emotional time.
We went through a lot of emotional turmoil trying to come to terms with the fact that we were now positive and that that's who we were as a couple.
Yeah, and just to make it clear, we both found out we were obviously already positive when we met and just didn't know.
Getting this diagnosis is really serious, but nowadays it's manageable. If you have the money and resources, like a good healthcare plan, to get the treatment you need. And luckily, Ben had just gotten a job that was going to give him healthcare, but his husband, who he wasn't yet married to, didn't have healthcare, which is why they didn't just stay together, but they got married as fast as they could.
Yeah, I hobbled him over to the like MoneyGram bulletproof window down the street because there was a notary there. Yeah. And said, "We're going to sign this paperwork so that we can start, when I get insurance next month, we can start getting you on my insurance and then we can deal with this. We can both have, this will be at least a little bit easier for both of us." And then after that, we realized that we're kind of married now. So he said, "No, you know what? That wasn't good enough. Like, if we're going to do this, I really want a wedding." So we did.
Did you guys write your own vows?
We did.
We wrote like co-vows.
Yeah. We like just read it together.
And cried. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so nice. We cried a lot and we danced and we ate and we hugged everybody and we took a photo with every single person there.
Yeah. We have no memories and no photos.
Because it was like, say hello to everybody, take a photo with everybody, say goodbye to everybody,
but
and that
no
was
photos
it.
Photos of us together.
Right, right.
I know. They've been married for 7 years now, and they've traveled all over together. They've gone to Paris, Brazil, but Ben absolutely insists that they have not had their honeymoon yet.
There's something about it that seems like the longer we wait to take our honeymoon, like the longer, I feel very superstitious about it. That if we don't take our honeymoon, it means that the honeymoon period isn't over yet, you know, or like the marriage is still fresh or worse. I don't know. That we still get to love each other that much more, and we don't have to fall, even though sometimes we do, we don't have to fall into the like old married couple boring phase of our life yet.
Lay on the couch and watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Because you're still planning your honeymoon.
Yeah, yeah, right? Because we haven't even taken the honeymoon yet. How could we be in the boring phase? Yeah.
Just wait till you're like 95, you know?
That's what I'm thinking. Yes.
That is so fucking romantic. Oh my God.
I know. And the day before the competition when I was there, Ben's husband is helping him prepare for the interview and helping him get his speech ready. And of course, he's tailored all of his clothes. And his husband is feeling pretty good about Ben's chances tomorrow. Ben, on the other hand, not so much.
For a while, I just said, oh, it's going to be Dwayne. Dwayne's going to win. Because Dwayne is Mr. Eagle LA Leather. And that is a title that wins more often than not. And he has body for days. And he does a lot for the LGBT community and the leather community in LA. If I had to put my money on somebody a couple of weeks ago, it would have been him. But because I've seen so much of all of the other contestants, and now I know more about their lives, we literally, every one of us has something fascinating and really valuable that nobody else has. So I have no idea.
This show actually is full of a lot of firsts. Because if Dwayne wins, he's the first black Mr. LA Leather. True. If Ben wins, he's the first bear LA Leather. Yeah. If Luis wins, he's the first spotlight LA Leather.
Part of the thing that I think needs to happen in leather is that there's a lot of white men sort of in charge of things and representing things and on posters.
But you're a fat white man, so what's the difference?
No, I know. I'm a fat Jewish white man. And I think that that needs to change. So if I don't win, probably it's going to be, not only are we all great, so it doesn't matter who wins, it's going to be somebody great, but probably it's going to be a person of color who is not necessarily seen as much in the world and doesn't get to represent things and doesn't get to be in charge because we just haven't let them. And that would be ideal. Like, I think I want to see in my life more people of color, more women, more trans folks, more gender nonconforming folks. Like, I want to see more people that don't resemble the dominant image of power.
But that doesn't mean Ben's not trying to win. He's still working really hard on his speech, the 90-second one that you have to give on stage in front of everyone. 90 seconds is just not that much time to tell your life story and sell yourself.
Yeah.
So Ben is still kind of writing his speech.
Some people say in a speech, you have to make them laugh, make them cry, and make them hard in 90 seconds, which is difficult and scary. I've written several speeches and I wander around in my speech until I find what I want to say and then I figure it out. So it's hard for me to be concise. Sorry. So we'll see. It's going to be, I think we're all going to be a little bit of a bundle of nerves.
Next time on The Competition, the big day has finally arrived.
I can damn sure promise all of y'all that I will come to you from a place of love, of compassion, of respect, and sexiness. My kink is not defined by where my ancestors came from. My kink is defined by what turns me on.
So I'm gonna start my speech a little bit in a different note here. So 3 years ago, I got news that my dad had a heart attack. And on the same day, I got news that I was HIV positive.
I'm someone who remembers the smell of his father's freshly polished boots with fear and excitement. I'm someone who loves the sound of leather hitting flesh and the cooling touch of air on hot skin. I am Spike, and I am leather.
The Competition is hosted by me, Elissa Dudley.
And me, James Kim.
Our editor is Cameron Kell,
who also did the music along with me and Ryo Baum.
And our theme music is by Andrew Eben. Until next time.